The first reading this morning is from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And the next reading is from chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I'm going to use that clock as my time because it's slow. Right. Salvation. Now, I'm not dealing with what Paul's read. I'm dealing with the title of what this morning is. Well, that's what I've chosen to do. Salvation. Salvation, our salvation, does not depend on what we do. You cannot be pious. It doesn't mean you've got to come to church on Sundays. It doesn't mean you've got to give to the church. It doesn't mean you've got to be in every charity that's possibly out there. There is only one thing that guarantees your salvation. Did you or did you not believe in the Lord Jesus? I'm not just saying that, that's what it says in here. Okay, so we need to remember things like that. It's about Jesus. Yes, God's judgment is fair, and it does say that, and people have said to me many times, you'll have to stand there and you'll be judged for every word you've said. I hope not. I'm going to be in the cart. Because if I'm judged for every word I've said in my entire life, I've lived a colourful life. You spend 20-odd years in the Royal Navy, your vocabulary gets very colourful. I don't stand a chance. But what did I read earlier on? Who stood at the right hand of the Father? You can tell me if you want. There you go. And he's our advocate. Because I know that when I do get to heaven, despite the past, despite everything else, Jesus knows this about Brian Moore. He knows me and I know him. And he'll stand in front of me and his Father won't be able to look on sin. He'll say, that one's mine. That's salvation. Are you that sure? You have to be. Okay, so there we go, looking at this. Now, I know people say about this judgment and everything, so just let me read you this. This is one of my favourite passages, you'll gather why, in a minute. It's from John 5, 21, 27. And it simply says this, and it's worth remembering. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleases it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. For who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, for he has crossed over from death to life. Now those words there are recorded in John 5, and if you've got a Bible with red writing in it, you will see that that denotes that that's Jesus speaking. That says a lot, doesn't it? Eh? I think it does. So what is salvation? Well, salvation, interestingly enough, is one of them words that Christians bander around and nobody out there knows what it means. There are millions on them, aren't they? When I first became a Christian, people used to come up to me and say, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? No, is the answer. What about your sanctification? Is that an oil for a car? So what I did, I went and got myself a book. It's a book of Christianese. This tells you all the words that the Christians use that nobody else understands. It's got some other stuff in it, but you learn as you go. Why we don't talk in plain language, I don't know, but there is one good bit at the back of this. Now, this is a digression, it's a sidebar. But this is for Paul. Paul writes, did you know? And this is right at the back of the book, and it's under why, because there's no Christian words haven't got anything starting with why. One of the oldest Christian communities in Britain, the site of the present York Minster, built in the 13th century, while the Bishop of York is mentioned as far back as 1314. The struggle for preeminence with Canterbury began in the 11th century. It was decided by Pope Innocent VI in 1352-62 that the Archbishop of Canterbury would lead the Primate of Britain. But the Archbishop of York remains the second highest one in the Church of England today. So if you want to blame somebody for the state of the church today, blame the Pope. They made Canterbury the head of the Church of England. That's a sidebar. That's something to take home with you and read. Have a read. Okay, so that's it. Now, what's the dictionary definition of salvation? Now, we've got a dictionary at home. It's about that thick. There are no woke words in it. It's a proper dictionary. Okay, and this is the definition of salvation. Salvation is the preservation or deliverance from evil or difficulty through life through Jesus. That's what it says in the dictionary. Now, they know about it, so it's important that we know about it. That's what salvation is. The preservation and deliverance from evil and difficulties through life through Jesus. So, how do we know that our salvation is sure? Well, we've just sung one song there, haven't we? Purify my heart. Purify my heart, Lord. People say you don't change when you become a Christian, but you do. There's no doubt about that. Because he gets in here. He makes you a softer person. Makes you a better person. It gives you the wisdom to see when it's right to say something and when it's not. It gives you the right to be here with a clear conscience. Purify my heart. That's one of those things that we often sing and think about. Another way that you can be sure is by letting your spirit be enlightened. And that's an interesting one, isn't it? You can't earn your salvation. You can't order it from Amazon. It's a free gift. Now, it's very difficult for somebody out there, particularly, to understand that life after death is free. It's the most powerful thing in the entire human race, because it doesn't matter where you are on that scale of life, bottom run of the ladder or the top run of the ladder, you can't escape what happens next. It's not a black hole. We believe, if you're like me, I believe, that my next step, I don't die, my body dies. This thing that we know is full of water. If you remember, I did that thing about water once, and the body's 80% water, something like that. I said, you don't need a doctor, you need a plumber. But that's true. This is just a carcass. It's one of them things. I said to Audrey the other day, first thing in the morning, mind, I've got a face that looks like I've been hit in the face with a frying pan. But I wake up and I said to Audrey, who's that old man in the river, in the mirror? Your body slowly gets older and everything changes, doesn't it? But what we look forward to, whether we like it or not, or whether we think about it or not, because we believe in Jesus, there's going to come a time, and we read it this morning, when there is no pain. When there is no sadness. When, for some, we can't explain how it is. But because of our love for Jesus, we know for certainty that is where we're going to be. It is never the end. Never the end. Not for those who believe. For those who don't believe, for those who have kicked Jesus into touch and think all that is fiction, that's a different matter. We have to be honest enough to accept that. I know it's very difficult. I've got two sisters and they wouldn't give Jesus the time of day. They'd probably cross over the other side of the street if he was on the street. That's up to them. They have actually been told, believe it or not. But it is up to them to make the decision. We can't do it any other way. We just have to be there for the right moment to say the right words. When you let Jesus in and you accept that free gift from him, your mind will change. And your mind will go off on a different path. Because somehow, once you've made your decision to face Jesus and you've got hold of your salvation and you know where you're going, you'll take hold of your whole body, your heart, soul and mind. And he will allow you to see times of compassion that you would have never done before. And we've seen it happening here. People who've suddenly, you've seen somebody, you've gone up to them because they needed praying for. And it's been just what they wanted. Somebody needed a hand laid on some part and needed healing. It happens here, believe it or not. And it's been just the right thing. You see somebody in the street struggling. You're willing to go over and just help them. As Audrey did one day, and I'm using her again, she told me don't speak about it, but when we were in the supermarket and an old lady didn't have enough money for what she had bought, it's a bit short, Audrey paid the extra money for her. That's Jesus in here. That's what happens. You get hold of your salvation, you accept that free gift and allow him to work through your body and allow you to be who you should be. Now, I know what people say sometimes about going on this different path, but the only way you can find out the path you need to be on the right path, sometimes you've got to read this book. This is the Handmaker's book. If you used to buy a car years and years and years ago, there's a lot in here, remember, you used to get the, the handbook for the book. Haynes, yeah. Rebecca used to name an engineer. You see, you used to get the Haynes book. And it told you all you needed to know about your car to strip it down and put it back together again. That's what the Bible does. It tells you all you need to know about your life. And it will strip parts of your life out and put them back together again in the proper order, because you'll become this other person, this new person. I wouldn't have talked to half of you before I was a Christian, because you've been churchgoers and a real pain in the neck. Because that's how church people are, right? That's how they see us. How many people, when they start out on that Christian walk, sit near that door at the back so you can get out before anybody gets hold of you? Well, I did. Last thing you need is to be ambushed by the vicar before you get home. But when you become a Christian, it becomes totally different, doesn't it? He takes hold of you, and inside here becomes this bit of Jesus lives in here. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And we need to remember that. Now, reading this book is difficult. If you want blood, sweat and tears and raping and pillaging and all sorts of, read the Old Testament. You know, it's full of it. It's a real action book, isn't it, the Old Testament? There's more people get killed in the Old Testament than are killed in all the wars. You know that, don't you? I once did a search pattern on all the people killed in the Old Testament. The ones that God had killed. That's the interesting thing you need to look at. And it's admonishing. But for us, when we read this, we're reading a new Bible. We're into a new covenant. Remember that Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up the law and the prophets. Not the 350 commandments in the law. Just that little bit. The Bibles, I know people say, well, which one do you have? And how do you know it's right? Somebody said that to me once. How do you know which Bible's right? Bibles are like a computer. A computer is only as good as its programmer. You know that, don't you? Well, it's true. That's true. The Bible has been translated by theologians. They may have done the course, but they translate it their way. Sometimes you need to search. You need to go deeper. You need to find out if what's being said is right. Ask the Thursday group. They'll tell you, we've gone through it, we've been going through things, and it's got as it is said, but I've done the research, and we find out it's not as it's said. And that's important. We need to be honest about this book sometimes. Some of them, some of the new ones, are the language has been altered, and it alters everything. Just be wise when you're looking at it, at these things. Salvation is the thing. What does Paul tell us? He tells us to test everything. If you're not sure about your salvation, if you're here and you're not sure, then ask yourself this one question. Do I believe that Jesus died on that cross? That 3 days later, he rose again and returned to his Father. If you believe that, and that you believe in him, and allow him to come into your heart, then your salvation is sure. It's as simple as that, really. And remember that Satan, I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't believe in Satan. But if you do, I think you ought to talk to some people in this room. Satan, lovely, they've been told to come in to make sure I don't overrun. Do you like that, Jonathan? Yeah, come on.
They haven't finished.
That's all right then. You come in.
I just want to show you what Elijah's done.
Right.
Lovely. Good boy.
Okay. I've only got this little bit to say at the bottom now. Don't you forget, all the time when you become a Christian, Satan will not like that. He will be in and amongst it. He's got workers. He's got false prophets. He's even got ministers who work for him, if you can believe it. But you have to. Satan will be after you. But Jesus, don't forget, your salvation does not depend on anything else other than trusting in Jesus' performance on the cross. It doesn't, your performance here on earth doesn't matter. It's what Jesus did for us. Because if we don't believe that, then your salvation is going to be an if. Am I? Do I? So believe salvation is free gift from the Lord, from Jesus. Now I'm going to read two things from here. I made two notes, and they're both from Paul, so he's doing his writings. I'm going to finish with these anyway. One is Thessalonians, and it's Thessalonians 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is about very specific, isn't it? Through Jesus. Salvation through Jesus. Another time in Acts, he says this in verse 12. And this is a very famous one. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. And that includes women, of course. Paul, the man who hated the Jews, the man who killed Christians, the man who decided that there was only one religion and that was Jewish, and he didn't want anything else on the planet. When Jesus got hold of him and got into his heart, he became our messenger, Jesus' messenger to us, the Gentiles. If he can change Paul's heart, he can change anybody's heart. So let us just reflect on that. Okay? So there you go. That's it. I haven't got anything else to say, I don't think. No.